Here on the podcast, we're constantly getting a lot of questions, and I have a bulk of questions from 20-year-olds on what they should do to be their best self as a Muslimah. And you know what? I actually had done something on it before, and I thought I'd do a 2024 version. Advice for my 20-year-old self. If I could go back, what would I tell myself starting out? Hello, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome back to the Mindful Muslimah Speaks podcast. I'm your host, Mindful Muslimah, coming to you every week. And if you are new, welcome. Welcome to the family. We are here with a whole bunch of sisters from all over the world, 150 plus countries that want to know you and are having very similar situations that you're having, whether you believe it or not. And we're here to give you advice on how to deal with them. This podcast is all about how to do modern day life without compromising your identity as a Muslimah. And alhamdulillah, if you are here with us for a long time, welcome back, sis. I know this is a spot where you just have maybe 20 minutes to yourself, where you're just trying to like level up, and we're here to help you with that as usual, alhamdulillah. So today we're talking about advice I would give my 20-year-old self. And I think this is advice that it's not just my personal advice. I think people that turn into my age bracket or with my experience in the world will tell you quite the same. So if you are not at your 20-year-old self and you're in your 30, 40, 50, whatever year old self, I'm sure you're going to be nodding your head because you're going to hear some things I'm saying, be like, oops, I did that too. So alhamdulillah. And if you're in your 20s or less, because we do have listeners from maybe 18 to 40, 50 something, we love it. We have sisters here who are joining with their mothers. Like so you have double, triple generations usually popping on the podcast and listening. So we love it all. So wherever you are in your journey, hope this hits home for you. So today we're talking about advice, and we got a lot of requests, so I'm going to say a couple of them, and inshallah ta'ala, I'll talk about a couple small stories that will help to get an idea of kind of the best ways to make the most of these really, really powerful years when you're starting out. And for those of you who don't know, right before I mention, two things I want to announce. One is our book club is coming up this weekend. Now, I have some very unexpected travel. I was not expecting to go to the other side of the world. But apparently, inshallah ta'ala, I'm on my way to London. So if you are also from London, I might be doing something exclusively for the Thrive Women, where if they are located in London, I meet up with them, you know, hang out with them, buy them, coffee and we chat together. And I might extend that if I'm able to the public as well. But for all you Thrive sisters, keep posted because this is something in the making. It's some kind of last minute travel. I'll be there coming from this weekend for a couple days into the week, inshallah ta'ala. And that being said, the book club, so I'm gonna like pop off the plane, take a quick sleep, inshallah, hopefully, and then pop on to the very first book club episode. And if you guys don't already know, we are doing it 100% free. It's always free. And if you haven't already joined, I'll make sure I put a link below. But we're doing The Productive Muslim. And how good is that? When people are currently feeling overwhelmed, if you are feeling overwhelmed right now, it's like everybody and their sister is feeling overwhelmed. We know. Right before Ramadan, everybody just is at the end of their rope, right? So if that's you right now, hold on. Don't give up. The worst thing you could do right now is try to seclude yourself. Drop off from everything, every group you've been in, right? Every sisterhood circle. Just, you don't need to be by myself right now to figure things out. Nope. Don't do that. That's actually exactly what Shaitan wants you to do. It's actually the worst thing you could do. Talking from a person who's done this for years with women. So hold on. You're going to be okay. We've got you covered. Why don't you come into the book club? You're going to get a little refresher, refiller, a little sisterly time. Grab your cup of coffee, jump in, and sisters cry, sisters laugh. It's just a moment for you, like a little relax moment, a little reset, relax moment. And we're doing The Productive Muslim, and I'm actually meeting with their team today to see if we're going to even have a surprise visit from the author himself in the book club. So super excited for that. Make sure you get on in there. So it will be on Sundays, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I don't know right now if it's 3 GMT or 4 GMT time because the time keeps changing. I know it's written somewhere, but it's 11 a.m. EST if you could look that up. And I know that for sure because that's Eastern Standard Time. I believe, no way. You guys are ahead or behind. All right, I'm going to figure this out. If not, there are clocks on the internet for it. All right, so The other cool thing is we're going to be having a spouse seeking workshop. I'm going to live help you guys with compatibility and questions to ask. So if you are looking to find a spouse and you just want some information, I'm going to be covering some very new information that I have never shared before in that workshop. And it's going to be February 11th, but maybe we'll start signups like next week. Okay. So getting into the podcast of advice, what I want to say is one of the very first things I learned is the thing that I made the podcast on last week. So the good news is if you missed last week's podcast, after you listen to this, you can go on over there and you can save that podcast or save this one so you can reference all them. But I did a whole podcast on people pleasing. One of the very first things I realized was that, now I'm going to tell you a quick story about how people pleasing is one of the things I wish I didn't do in my 20s. It's what I mostly did in my 20s. I got hurt a lot. I'm going to show you a couple opportunities on how I got hurt, little window into my life. For example, when I was in college, I went away to college. I went to one of the colleges in upstate New York. A lot of people in New York City, they go upstate. If they don't want to leave the state, they go to the big colleges. You know, the big colleges up there like Syracuse and Binghamton and all these great ones, right? So anyway, so I went to college in upstate New York and I was there in college and I was often asked by people to go places and do things. And even though I'm a practicing person, I'm scared of hurting other people's feelings. I don't want to make people feel bad or anything like that. So I get invited to places that I really never wanted to go, but I got constantly asked. Now, what if you're a people pleaser and people are asking you to go to these places, right? Here you are finding yourself in situations that you would never put yourself in, but you can't say no because you don't want to hurt their feelings or turn them down or whatever it is. It's really, really dangerous. And so I constantly, I remember one night I asked my girlfriend to go to this place because she wanted to go and she was worried about her safety or she was worried about, you know, she just wanted me to come with her because she just needed me or whatever her reason was. And, you know, walking through dark campuses in highly rape-prone areas is incredibly scary and dangerous, and it happens a lot on college campuses. This is, I honestly, personally, I will never send my kids away to school, but this is a personal choice for all women. But after living on a campus like that and living in it was actually like one of like the highest party campuses. No one advertises this, you know. You go there for academics and then you go there and you find out what's actually happening. So FYI to moms, like, you know, really scope it out. So at night, especially, I don't know, on the weekends. So I was in this campus and I'm trying to be really academic, which I later left, by the way. I came home, told my parents, hey, they were really disappointed in me. Oh, why do you want to leave school? I go, no, you don't get it. Like a lot of times parents don't realize what's really happening in these campuses, especially the mixed ones. It was more mixed than I realized it would be. And all these things you don't know until you get to a place. You live, you learn, right? And so I was constantly feeling awkward, constantly feeling like, oh my God, you know. So at the end of the day, here's my point to you. I was getting constantly asked and led into places and my feet were like this close to the hellfire every day. When you are trying to be a good person, but you don't know how to say no, it is not just dangerous for your dunya and like hurting your feelings, making your day suck. No, you literally can dive into hell. And I know some sisters right now are listening and bells and whistles are going off like, yeah, that's me. Like I did that last week. Okay. But what are you going to do about it? Oh, I don't know what to do. I tried it, but I can't. Yes, you can. Okay, you can stop, go listen to the previous podcast, 7 signs that you're a people pleaser and how to stop. You have to work on it. If you struggle too much, we could do a free consultation call. But my point is, guys, that's what I would tell my 20-year-old self. Take it seriously, the people pleasing, because it will make you sin and it will make you go to hell. It's that serious. Like, it's really serious. All right, so that's the first one. You know, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more important. And when we think about people pleasing, it's a lot more serious than you think. So thankfully, I was able to stop myself from a lot of things. But I can tell you in the beginning, it was really, really challenging. And I got judged a lot and this a lot. And then I just had to eventually learn that you can't care, guys. You can't care all the time. You have to care more about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks about you. What's going to happen then, the people? Otherwise, you're going to put yourself in a lot of really scary places. And then the other thing I learned that was really, really important was that happiness doesn't come from people. It comes from my relationship with Allah. And I'm going to mention that or preface that by a story where I used to really struggle in my first marriage. And you guys know I chose to divorce my first husband because of a lot of reasons. And at the end of the day, I was married in that way that was not correct. I suffered a lot in that marriage. I cried a lot in that marriage. The reason I'm so passionate of talking about all the time about marriage and how to get married the right way is because nobody taught me. And I literally cried every day. And if you know me from the podcast and you're an all-time listener, you might have listened to some of those podcast episodes where I'm like, hey, let me tell you how much my life was really, really bad. And you're just hearing the good right now because I figured stuff out. But alhamdulillah, like, I want people to not have as hard a time as I did. And I remember, and I told in this one particular podcast I'm thinking about, I was mentioning how I had my five-year-old daughter rubbing my back and saying, mommy, it was going to be okay. I mean, when you have to have your child console you and notice that you're just a mess, you know it's bad. And it was at that point that I just like broke down in tears and I realized, like, this has to stop. Like, how is it this bad that even a child can recognize how bad it is for me? And so what I'm saying in that is that I didn't have, it was very much in my people-pleasing era too, I guess. I was just really low in confidence. And what happens is when you're low in confidence, you don't stand up for yourself and you don't realize your value and you allow other people to do things to you longer than you should. And that was what I was experiencing. So yeah, I have my child rubbing my back and saying it's going to be okay. And alhamdulillah, she turned into a beautiful, beautiful soul here. She has four beautiful children now. She's older and we still are very, very good friends, talk to each other. Now we rub each other's back. But back in the day, you know, I was worried about making everybody happy, not realizing I was sticking around, making poor choices because I thought my happiness was going to be in that marriage, not realizing that that marriage was toxic and bad. And it wasn't actually going to just hurt me. It was going to hurt my children. So it's really important. So I say this to say that the second piece of advice is that when you think marriages or friendships or certain things are like haram relationships, who knows, with a guy, is going to bring you happiness. And then you find out that that person harms you, then your life falls apart, right? Oh, they cheat on me. They stop talking to me. They would, like, whatever it is that women go through these days. You know, they harmed me. They did me wrong. Then your whole life falls apart. Who knows what I'm talking about? You feel like the world is crumbling, or like, why should I even live every day? This is no happiness in the world. Like, when you're there, that means you've put a person in the place in your heart where only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs, and you have imprisoned yourself. And this is why learning how to avoid all these situations from the get-go is why I'm passionate about teaching this, because it was something that once I learned the right way and I married the right person, now I'm married to my best friend. And it's not because of any reason but the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love my husband so much and we have an amazing relationship. But at the end of the day, that didn't just pop out of the sky. I had to let go of anything wrong that I was doing or not knowing. I had to learn. Like, I had nothing. Ladies, just because you're not from a religious practicing family doesn't mean you can't have a religious practicing family of your own. That's what I have now. But I had to do something to get it. I had to learn how to find the guy the right way. And then I had to actually learn what a good wife and mother looks like and be that and try to be that every day. I'm still learning every day and refining myself. It's a lifelong journey, but to have the guidance to do it and to be confident and clear and be able to swat away all the people who are going to be negative and toxic without being a people pleaser, like, it all comes in one package. Allah gives you such strength. I do not take any credit for that. The only credit I take is that I said yes to learning and went full on in, and I was dead serious. The people who don't do that are the people who are going to suffer for long periods of time, because it's knowledge is incumbent upon us as Muslims. Rasulullah, he said that knowledge is incumbent upon every Muslim, and so we're supposed to learn. We can't be like, oh, I don't know, nobody told me, oh, my mom didn't teach me. No, it doesn't work like that. And so if I want to have happiness from Allah, I have to learn, like, what does that really look like? What does good relationships look like? Where are my boundaries between myself and other people and myself and Allah? And how do I not allow myself to get taken advantage of? How do I find out if that guy is compatible with me? How do I figure out what to actually ask him? How do I look for those questions? Like, and if you're already married, how do I know if I should stay in a marriage? Then I had to create an entire marriage course for women who are married. How to know if you're in a healthy marriage and basically, you know, how to be a healthy spouse partner. And then usually once you learn what healthy good looks like, because we talk about what the marriages of the Prophet, peace be upon him, look like, then you realize that yours is not so healthy. Then your next step is to try to make it healthy and save it. And if that's not possible, then you have to face that term and think about next steps on that and what you're going to do with your life. I find a lot of people, they don't put accountability with their partner. like married people. So this is a good one for the single ladies to hear. And then also for the married ladies to hear, you know, we got to hold our husbands accountable the way they hold us accountable, to keep our word, to do the things that are right. You know, just stay with people for the sake of staying with them. If they're not praying, if they're toxic, if they're harmful, they're doing really bad things. I'm not talking about Western toxicity where we just let people go. I'm talking about like Islamic boundaries, you know. And if you don't know what those are, how can you know? It's about knowledge building. And that's what we're here about. All right. So there's one more that I want to share with women. And basically, okay, and the last piece of advice, number three. So number one was, you know, being a people pleaser wasn't good. Obviously, I'd have to learn how to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then number two was about what I just mentioned about finding my happiness was with Allah, not people. And I know that's easier said than done, but I'm trying to say is when you don't spend time with Allah, you don't know Him, and you don't know how much happier it is that you have to find that peace and quiet time with Him. So that's why I talk about journaling. I do a million products for that, because I want you guys to like have ways to know how to do it. Because I've talked all the time about like, do this, do journaling. People like, how? So like, even for example, in the planner that we just released for the yearly planner, a lot of people like, oh, I want to be organized. I want to do great in 2024. But a lot of people don't know how. So I had to, I literally, because my team is, I have beautiful, beautiful women. They did beautiful how-tos with like arrows, do this, fill this in here. Like all my stuff is like that. If you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, we have tons of stuff for women support. We have free PDFs. We have actual like eBooks you could buy and stuff, whatever. It's at www.mindful-muslimah.com. But in the third one that I'm talking about now, it's really about one of the best things I learned is that I didn't have to know who I was yet. I just had to learn. Skill up, ladies. The 20s is all about skilling up, skill up, skill up, skill up. It is about figuring out who you are by learning more about the world and everything like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, so you can find out where you belong within that. And from there, it becomes like this epiphany and it's beautiful. But if you don't start learning things about Islam, like, because that is who you really are, right? Your creator. Then you're not going to ever figure out who you are. You're just going to do what the world tells you that you should do, you know? And sometimes parents, as much as they mean well, they'll, you know, push you towards this profession and that. And then you do that profession and you realize you're not even happy. So that's another one. You know, you gotta figure out who you are and what's your passion and how you're meant to contribute to the world as a Muslim in society. And you don't have to know it all right now. Don't pressure yourself. Don't pressure yourself on knowing I'm going to be a this. I'm going to be. I see all these young people doing that. I'm like, girl, you don't even know yet, because I changed my profession like 5 times. And then I changed it for the last time and it was nothing of the first 5. So at the end of the day, and this is when I'm the most happy, you're going to figure it out. I wish somebody told me that. I wish somebody told me, like, you don't have to know. Just focus on what's important, which is learning. When I say learning, I don't mean university, ladies. I know that's what he's thinking about. I mean, where's your own personal time to skill up? That's why inside of Thrive, when we're together in our sisterhood, I want women to learn about all different things so they can learn who they are and heal their trauma and all that stuff, right? So I invite people in, all these famous speakers and people from all over, and we do extended things like the book club, which I hope you make sure you're with us, the free book club. But I want you to know that it's important for you to keep these things in mind. And I hope this helped. And don't forget to click the links below for the book club or anything else. I hope to see you guys this weekend. Inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.